I've been naked in public myself, but it was on a sailboat down in Sea Cortez. Well, it was called the Sea Cortez in the before times. What's it going to be called next year? So I was rinsing off under one of those little camping showers you take. It's called the solar shower. You just fill it with water and let it heat up with the sun. And I just got out of the ocean, and I got lucky. I'd taken my Hawaiian sling, gone out to the point of this little bay, and I got a little grouper. And on the way back to the boat, I'd stopped in some shallower water and dug up about a dozen clams. And so I swam back to the boat with my fish and my clams and hopped aboard, took a shower, went down below, and made my favorite meal, which is tucino. Thank you, Gary, by the way. That was great. So I get the meal made, and I go up into the cockpit. I put the cushions out, get a bottle of wine and some glasses, and sit down. And I look out around me, and I've got the hills in this bay coming right down to the water. There's a tiny little breeze, but the water is still so clear that you can see all the way to the bottom, the little ripples in the sand that the current makes. And you can see all the steep little puffer fish swimming around in circles. They're in almost every bay you go into. And I'm thinking to myself, I finally did it. I made it. I'm living the life. And I'd been dreaming about this moment since probably I was 14 years old, after reading that book, Dove, where the 16-year-old kid goes sailing off around the world. And here I was. I had done it. More importantly, I got that really hot chick I've been chasing since I was 15 years old. She was sitting right next to me. So I'm thinking to myself, it's not going to be any better than this. This is as good as it gets. So we pour a wine, and I toast to Naya, and I get this little twinge of panic. Something's not right. But being a young man, married, and knowing that the best way to deal with a difficult conversation is just not to have a conversation at all. I didn't say anything. So we just finished our meal, and I didn't bring anything up, but I knew what was going on. This had been my dream, and I wanted to go sailing off in the sunset. Hadn't really been close. She worked really hard and supported it the whole time. Like, she really actually worked harder than I did on this. So I didn't want to talk about this, but I knew we were going to have a difficult conversation on our trip back up the coast, which was going to happen in a few weeks, because we couldn't stay down in Sea Cortez during the hurricane season. And we were going to have to go back down around Cabo and back to San Pedro. But I was thinking about how I got to that point, and it started in 2001 when I decided I wanted to buy this boat. I was hauled out in Long Beach at Marina Shipyard, and the surveyor was walking around the boat, and he did this for about 20 minutes and pulled me aside and said, "You know, you're a young man. This boat's going to take every penny you have and years to get ready for cruising." And I'm thinking to myself, what? I'd been spending the last 6 summers up in Alaska working on commercial fishing boats, mostly just to save money to buy a sailboat like this. And the fishing boat I worked on was wood, and it was iron fastened, and we didn't have any problems. So I wasn't worried about it. And I'd read, every edition of Wooden Boat Magazine for the last 7 years. I knew everything about wooden boats. So I bought the boat anyway, despite what the surveyor told me. And I figured, it's March, I go back up to Alaska, do one more season, and I'll have enough money to do a few small repairs, and I'll have a cruising kitty, and off I go in the sunset. So I did that, and I did leave in February. It wasn't that February, or the next February. It was 3 years later, and it turns out the surveyor actually knew what he was talking about. So, Tanai and I had spent those 3 years working on this 40-foot Angleman catch, iron fastened, and it did take all of our money several times. and all of our time. She worked, like I said, just as hard as I did. When we ran out of money, I'd work on other boats in the boatyard right next to us, and I'd be working on one boat, and she'd be working on our boat, and I'd feel pretty guilty about that. But when we finally got it done, we replaced the entire cockpit of this boat, all the rigging, deck beams, new sails, new fuel tanks. She'd pull all the iron fasteners out of the deck and put new bronze fasteners in. It just kind of went on and on and on. So when we sailed past San Clemente Island on our way down to Cabo, this is our shakedown cruise because we don't have enough time to make it all the way to the South Pacific. So we're just going to go to Cabo and around the corner. We were pretty ready to go. In fact, we didn't even put an autopilot or a wind vane on it, so no self-steering. We're just going for it. And I'm feeling pretty good about it. And tonight is not so much. We had following seas. We're lifting the boat up, like, way up in the air, and then surf down and come back to the other side. It was kind of like you're on a seesaw. And we just happened for 4 days. And tonight I was vomiting for 4 days straight. And the thing I remember most about that experience was that as much as I told her to go down below and get some rest and I'll take the wheel watch, it's 4 hour on, 4 hour off wheel watches, she wouldn't do it. She's just obstinate. And she got indignant, actually, when I asked her to, like, take a break, I'll take the wheel. So anyway, I was thinking about these things in the cockpit in that little beautiful bay we were anchored in, because I knew we were going to have a conversation pretty soon, and it was going to be about whether we were going to keep doing this, and I really wanted to. After all this work that we'd done, I wanted to keep going. The problem was I knew we weren't going to be able to go the next year, or probably even the next year, because I needed to put a new bottom on this boat. It's been leaking worse and worse and worse almost every day. So as we're going up the coast, back towards San Pedro, I'm thinking, how am I going to do this? How am I going to have this conversation with her? She's not going to want to spend two more years in that industrial armpit of a boatyard, surrounded by oil refineries and concrete plants and shipping terminals. She's a mountain girl. So one morning, I wake up, and I'm thinking, I don't hear the engine running, because we had to motor sail up the coast to get back up to San Pedro. And I crawl up in the hatch, and there she is, leaning against the mast, looking at the sails. She took the in and off. She raised the mizzen. She had all the sails trimmed perfectly. And I'm staring at her and I'm thinking, wow, she's still taking the initiative to do all this hard work. And she doesn't even like doing this. She's doing this for me to live my dream. And my next thought was, I'm a dickhead. This woman is amazing. She's done so much for me. She's the most amazing woman I could ever hope to have. So about 2 hours after telling her that I thought we should sell the boat, she had little plans for a yurt drawn up where we put the kitchen and where we put the bathroom, and that's where we lived for the next 8 years. And I didn't see that coming.